Okay, so a couple weeks ago, well, let's open our Bibles up to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes 5:18. Yeah, Mr. Phil, he's engineered. He did a great job.
Got to pay for that engineering?
That's just a free sample, right, Phil? That's right. No, it looks good. Okay, so we're in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 18. We're going to go through chapter 6, verse 9 today, hopefully. And so a couple weeks ago, we talked about stuff. We talked about materialism, okay? So we'll kind of continue looking at that in the next few verses. So a question we could ask is, what then is good in life, right? What is good in life? Do y'all remember? What are good things in life? The good things in life.
Labor
working.
Meal after labor working.
Huh?
Meal after labor.
The meal after labor working.
After, the meal after we've been working.
Yeah. And then, okay, yes. And those are given to us as what?
Gifts.
As gifts, that's right. Got a good memory on you. Good, good. It's two weeks ago.
I started this week.
Oh, you did? Okay, good. Yeah, so if the gathering of things do not satisfy, if stuff or material ultimately disappoints, then these things will leave us, again, naked in the face of death, right? When we leave, we take nothing with us. It all stays in the grave. So then what should we do, right? So Solomon's recommendation is pretty much essentially what we repeated in, at the end of chapter 2. And what does he say there? Kind of what Stephen said. He says to eat, drink, and look for good and one's labor. Okay? So eat, drink, and labor. And then he went on to say that it was a gift of God. Exactly what Stephen said. So, all right. So he says that all these things are in the hands of God, and it is necessary for man to recognize and remember that, right? Everything is in the hands of God. Remember, materialism, stuff, things disappoint. Why? Why do those things disappoint? Because they are not who?
God,
that's right. Only God can fulfill that emptiness inside. Okay, stuff disappoints because it cannot be relied on. Can you trust the materialism of this world or things of this world? Okay? I think there's a certain trust that you can have on things that are designed to keep you safe or things like that, but at the end of the day, it can fail, right? These things can disappear at any moment. Okay? It can be lost in a bad deal, right? In a bad venture, and a bad, maybe somebody took it, right? All this materialism, it can leave one shamed before a watching world. Sometimes greed, right, can get to us. And then sometimes it's displayed on the internet. Or maybe I think of, some of these boxing matches recently. You know, it seems like they're just doing it to make money. And anyways, I see that they're shamed. You know, everybody's talking about it. They're shaming them. And so, God, on the other hand, does not disappoint. He can be relied on. One thing for which God can be relied on is the enjoyment of the small, ordinary things of life, right? It's the simple things that we need to have gratitude for. What we eat, what we drink, you know, the labor, the work that He gives us. In fact, God designed us to work, right? Where does that come from? God, what? Genesis, right? Yeah, Genesis. There you go. Thank you.
Genesis 1:28-31.
There you go, man. Look at you. You're scholars. You get the scholar's baton today. Yeah, no, that's good. Yeah, absolutely. But yes, so that is what we do, right? And so these are the themes we take for the things we take for granted. But Solomon reminds us that we should not do so, okay? We should always be thankful for, at a minimum, those things that God has given us, food, drink, and work, okay? We should find contentment in at least that. all the little things in life that the Lord gives us are small reminders of God at work in our lives. Again, they are gifts from Him to us. So now, let's go ahead and go to our passage, 5:18. We'll start here with Stephen. We'll just go this way and just read a verse each until we get through verse 9 in chapter 6.
Okay. Verse 18. Here is what I have seen to be good, which is beautiful, to eat, to drink, and see good in all one's labor, in which he labors under the sun during the few days of his life, which God has given him. For this is his portion.
Furthermore, as for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth, he has also empowered him to eat from them and to take up his portion and to be glad in his labor. This is the gift of God.
For he will not remember much the days of his life because God allows him to occupy himself with the gladness of his heart.
There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is prevalent among men.
A man to whom God gives riches and a wealth and honor, so that his soul lacks nothing of all that he desires, yet God does not empower him to eat from them, for a foreigner eats from them. This is vanity and a sickening evil.
If a man fathers 100 children and lives many years, however many they be, but his soul is not satisfied with good things, and he does not even have a proper burial, then I say, better the miscarriage than he.
For it comes in vanity and goes in darkness, and in darkness its name is covered.
Though it has not seen the sun or known anything, this has more rest than that man.
Even though he should live 1,000 years twice over, yet enjoy no good, do not all go to the one place?
Going
nine?
Yes, sir.
Through nine.
Seven, eight, nine.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. You're right. Sorry. I'm still looking like... we're going through nine. Ooh.
All the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the soul is not satisfied.
For what advantage has the wise man over the fool? And what does the poor man have who knows how to conduct himself before the living?
Enjoy what you have rather than desiring what you don't have. Just dreaming about nice things is meaningless, like chasing the wind.
All right.
Okay, so there we have it, Ecclesiastes 5:18 through 6:9. So let's look at 5:18. It says, here is what I have seen to be good, which is beautiful, to eat, to drink, and to see good in all one's labor in which he labors under the sun. Again, under the sun is the perspective of man, right? And we see under the heavens, and we look at it from a deity perspective. So everything under the sun during the few days of his life which God has given him, for this is his portion. Okay, so the best strategy according to this verse is to enjoy common activities of daily life, which are eating, drinking, and labor, as we mentioned in chapter 2. Let's look at chapter 2 real quick. And this is where this idea first came up. Let's see here. I think verse 24, there is nothing better for a man than to eat and drink and have his soul see good in his labor. This also I have seen that is from the hand of God. So again, he's repeated this twice. So if God's word says it, it's important, right? And if he says it twice, then it's what? That's right. It's twice as important, right? So again, he's trying to comfort us in this and give us some insights on the meaning of this text, okay? So we should take that serious. As long as you have eat and drink and you have work, then that's all that should please you or us, okay? All right, verse 19, furthermore, as for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth, he has also empowered him to eat from them and to take up his portion and be glad in his labor. Again, this is the gift of God. So let's think about this. Okay, some have riches. Okay, some don't. End of those who have riches, some enjoy them and some don't, right? So just because you have riches doesn't mean you're enjoying it, Okay? And let's see. And of those without riches, some are content even more than those who have riches, right? And so again, you have riches don't satisfy in every aspect. And again, it's all temporal. So men enjoy their labor and some do not. Even though labor is a gift from God, some enjoy it and some don't. Okay, those who enjoy their labor are not just lucky, right? Oh, no, I got the best job ever, right? Working at a pig farm, man, that's so cool. But he enjoys it, I think. He's never told me otherwise. Okay, sorry, Noah, you're always going to be my example of work, okay? Just because you're close to me. So those who enjoy their labor, they're not just lucky. It's not like they just pick the right occupation, right? And it's that they've received a gift from God. So you received a gift from God to be there, okay? But yes, so God has placed us there. It's a gift from Him, okay? Whether we enjoy it or not, it's a gift from Him, okay? And so men work hard and receive nothing sometimes, right? We have men who work really hard. You can have some people doing the same job, and one is working harder than the other, but yet the pay is what?
The same,
that's right. It's frustrating, right? So, Jesus, how come you're like, you're in a gaze too?
Because we have crews where I work, and they work pretty hard, but they don't get paid as much, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's not equal, yeah, no, of course. Okay, so we see all these different flavors of, even in the labor force, right? Let me see here. So as for those who are rich, I'm sure mostly that there has been hard work, right? Most of the time, not every person who is rich or, is not because they had hard work. But again, ultimately, at the end of the day, it is a gift from God. If God has chosen to give them riches, then that's what God has done, okay? Who are we to question that? And so again, it is a gift from God. Isn't it amazing that the Lord can give us riches? He can give us wealth. He can give us our health, right? And at the same time, He gives us the ability to enjoy them. So He gives them to us, but then also, according to this text, He gives us the ability to enjoy them. He allows us to be satisfied with what life has given us and to enjoy His work. This combination of life circumstances is a special gift of God. And then, as Paul says, we must learn to be content in what?
All things.
What's that?
All things.
But learn to be content in whatever state that we're in, right? Yeah, that's right. That's Philippians 4:13, if I remember correctly. But yes, so again, furthermore, as for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth, He has also empowered him to eat from them and to take up his portion and be glad in his labor, for this is the gift of God. Okay. I remember there was a time in my life that I didn't see it as a gift. It was like a curse to me. And looking back now, I'm like, man, I need to be thankful, right? And I was there, survived like 5 layoffs, still kept my job. I think I even begged my supervisor to lay me off, and he wouldn't do it. He would just laugh at me. I'm like, I'm ready to go. Lay me off. And he just laughed at me and told me to be quiet and go back to work. And so now I look back, I'm like, wow, thank you, Lord. I was ungrateful. But yes, so the Lord is good even when we're not, when we don't see it. You going to say something, Stephen?
No.
Oh, okay. Let's go to verse 20. It says, for he will not remember much the days of his life because God allows him to occupy himself with the gladness of his heart. Okay? So the man that the preacher is describing here is a man who God has taught to number his days, right? Remember the days of his life because God allows him to occupy himself with the gladness of his heart. Okay, this person knows that his days are few. Now, it doesn't mean that he knows he's getting ready to die. He just knows that whenever he dies, whether he's 100 or he's 50, that's not a whole lot of days, right? And I think I'm at the point now where I'm like, man, life is but a flash, right? And I'm in my mid-40s, and so I'm just like, wow, if I could, just a few years ago, there was a lot of people dying with heart attacks of my age. So it's just sobering, right? And but so for me, that's I understand that very well, at least for myself. It's sobering to me. So this person knows that his days are few. He knows that they will end, and that he will not live forever under the sun. Okay, why do we not live forever under the sun? Because of sin? That's for the wages of sin is death, right? Exactly right. So we will die, whether it's prematurely in the mother's womb or we die at a ripe old age, right? Whatever that means, ripe to everybody, it may be something different, but yeah. So he enjoys a few days that he has, and the Lord gives him gladness in his heart. A man who fears God realizes that he does not deserve more, but that he deserves less, right? When you realize that, oh, look at what I have. Man, I don't even deserve, Lord, what you've given me, right? I don't deserve this. He realizes that the Lord has been gracious to him or to her, that he is undeserving for what he has, okay? So if you look at your life now, we don't deserve what we have. It's all a gift. God has made us stewards of stuff that we're not even going to take with us, right? He's given us these gifts. But while we're here, steward it well, take care of it, make sure you're making good decisions, and we're not taking advantage of God's goodness. So again, so whatever we do, let's take the light in it as a let's take delight in it as a lift from God, a gift from God. But we need to make sure that we always take joy in the little things that the Lord has given us. Like today, right? We prayed about the rain. He gave us a little bit of sample of freshness. I mean, this moisture will be gone by noon today. You know, it's just the desert where we live. The wind will probably pick up and it'll be gone. But while we have it, let's enjoy it. Let's enjoy the freshness of it, the little puddle that may stay in your yard or whatever. But just enjoy the simplicity of God's gift to us. Any thoughts so far?
Be grateful to you for the breath in our lungs.
That's right. That's right. Yep. In fact, you don't even think about those things, right? They just happen. Yeah, now we're all like, yeah. Can anybody in here make their heart beat twice as fast right now? You can, Noah? Oh, yeah, with your... Okay, maybe. Slow it down. Nah, I can't do it. But yes, no, you're right. That's a very, very important term. Yeah, go ahead.
I have one thought. This may, hopefully it's not a term here, but the ones God allows him to occupy himself with the gladness of his heart, I'm sure he takes gladness of his job, his working, so he knows the gift of God, so he's occupying.
Yeah,
because he could be doing other things,
absolutely.
Busy body stuff, being idle, keeping out of trouble.
Yeah,
it says in 1 Thessalonians about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that be occupied with gladness in him versus not being occupied.
Yeah, no, that's great. And so I think in these texts talks about work, and it talks about the riches and wealth that God has given, and he gives those things to occupy man, right? And so, just don't occupy yourself with food and drink because you'll end up like me. So be disciplined in that. But no, you're right. And he does that, right? He gives that to us to occupy ourselves.
Another thing that's a small thing that we don't always give thanks for is the bad things.
Right.
Yeah. The bad things, because the bad things God uses to conform us to be more like Jesus.
So we're more like him,
so
right?
So we could even be grateful in those hard times.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Exactly what James says.
That's what James says, right? To count it joy. That's right. No, that's a great point, and we should. And those pressures in life, they're not there to cause us to fall back, but to cause, like you said, to be more like Christ, right? And the trials in life, they draw us to him. If we're believers, they draw us to him. And sometimes we'll mess up, right? We see that in Job. We see that in Jonah, right? Where we're trying to go against the grain of God, or we begin to question God and what he does. But at the end, God still gets his way. God is sovereign. He's in control of all things. And even Jonah is testament to that. Even if a big fish has to swallow you and spit you on the edge of the ocean, he's going to get his way, right? And so, absolutely. Okay, so verse 6. So he says, there is an evil which I have seen under the sun. Okay, and it is prevalent among men. And I'm going to look at verse 2 as well. A man to whom God gives riches and wealth and honor so that his soul lacks nothing of all that he desires. Yet God does not empower him to eat from them, for a foreigner eats from them. This is vanity and a sickening evil. Okay. So Solomon continues to show us that there are many injustices of life under the sun. He says he sees something here, right, under the sun, and it is prevalent among men. He says that it's evil. Okay. In our text, we see men of wealth and riches. Okay. He has all that he can dream up, and it can be seen, obviously, by others. Okay, so this person has everything. Okay. All that you can think of, all that you can dream of, these men have it. Then we see another man or a stranger or a foreigner enjoying it. Okay, so these people have it all. And then all of a sudden we see that what? That yet God does not empower him. Oh, let me go back. Oh, there it is. Okay. Yet God does not empower him to eat from them, right? So somebody has everything, but God does not allow them to enjoy them. That's what he's saying here. And he says, for a foreigner eats from them, okay? And what he's saying here is that we see another man, or I think some translations may say stranger or a foreigner, somebody different is enjoying it. God has given these riches, this materialism, these things to somebody, but God does not allow them to enjoy them. Okay? That would be hard too, right? So here he says, maybe he loses it, okay, in some way. Maybe he dies, and then another man picks it up and enjoys it, right? This is probably a bad joke, but I used to tell people at work not to save a lot of their stuff because one day they'll die, and then the wife and Sancho will enjoy it. And Sancho will be like, hey, that guy was just, he was a good man, saved all this for us to enjoy later, right? Or you work your whole life, you get ready to retire, and once you do, then it's all gone. I've seen people where they retire, and within a couple months later, they, what? They die, right? They pass away. And so again, that's what he's saying. God does not allow you sometimes to enjoy these things. And so Solomon, the preacher, is looking at this and says, man, this is a sickening evil. Where you get all these things, but you don't get to enjoy them. Okay? Or maybe he has been taken over by a foreign power, right? Maybe your country or your area has been taken over by a different group of people. I know one time we had some people, a group in Venezuela for the company that I work for, and then Venezuela just said, no, we want it. And they ran us out of there. And so they took over all the work that we did, all the money we invested in that area, and they took it back, okay? But sometimes that can happen. I think of some of the wars, right, where the armies showed up and they took over everything that was going on at your home, right, whether you had a food storage, you had a place to stay, you had animals, they would take it for themselves for war, right, for the cause of war. All that work that you did to try to preserve for your family was taken. And they go to enjoy the spoils of their fruits, right? So they enjoy the spoils of our fruit, not you. So anyways, that's what he's saying. That's what Solomon the preacher is saying. You're doing all this work, you have all these things, and then somebody just comes in and swipes it out from under you before you can enjoy it. And so in any case, this is vanity, he says. This is the result of living in what kind of world? What kind of? A material world, a broken world, right? A fallen world, right? Here on this earth, things do not always work out the way we wish them to. Does everything go the way you want it to go? Every day, all the time? No, not me.
No, and it's been the greatest blessing.
That's right. Way to turn that around.
I have plans, and God changed them.
Yes. Yeah, you can look back now and say thank you, right? But right when it happened, you're like, Lord, why did you do that? No, absolutely. And that, I think, is a gift as well, right? You can look back and see where the Lord has intervened. And He didn't give us what we wanted. I tell my girls all the time, be careful what you want, especially with dating guys, because you just might get them, right? So sometimes what you want isn't always what you need, right? So let me see here. So here on this earth, things do not always work out the way we wish them to. This is what makes it such an evil in the preacher's eye, in Solomon's eye, okay? This is what troubles him. If you picked it up in our text here, you'll notice that Solomon, who is he blaming? Who is he blaming? Look at the text. Did you catch it? He's blaming God, right? He's blaming God. Solomon blames God for depriving him of the enjoyment of his wealth. Okay, he gave it to him. He gave it to all of them. But God does not let him enjoy it. Right? If God is sovereign and God is in control of all things, then yes, that is correct. But that is for God to decide who will enjoy those things.
Definitely uses strong language at the end of verse 2.
Yeah, he does, huh? I know. And I read that too. I'm like, at the end of it, right? He's like, this is vanity and a sickening evil, right? From again, remember, this is from his perspective as a human under the sun. This is not a worldview without God. Solomon is approaching this with a worldview without God, okay? Even though he...
I said he's not approaching it with God, but with the knowledge of...
Yeah, with the knowledge of God, that's right. Because he said, remember, everything under the sun. So he's looking at it from a human perspective. He's like, man, that's so sad. That's evil. That's wrong. I can't even enjoy these things, right? Because you haven't allowed me to, okay? Yeah, no, I caught that too. I was like, man, is he saying that God is an evil? This is vanity and a sickening evil, not just an evil, right? So, what do your translations say? Mine says a sickening evil.
Mine says a sickening tragedy.
Sickening tragedy?
Evil affliction.
Evil affliction? Okay, so it's strong, right? The language is strong no matter what translation you have. Okay. No, thanks, Jesus, for picking that up. But yeah, I noticed that too through the study. Okay, verse 3, if a man becomes the father of 100 children and lives many years, however many the days of his years may be, but his soul is not satisfied with good things, and he does not even have a proper burial, then I say, better the miscarriage than he, for that one comes in vanity and goes into darkness, and that one's name is covered in darkness. Indeed, that one never sees the sun and never knows anything. That one has more rest than he. Even if the other man lives 1,000 years twice and does not see good things, do not all go to the same place? That's kind of hard to understand there, huh? Kind of? Yeah, well, let's take a look at it. Maybe it was me the way I read it. Okay, so here we see a contrasting position. Even if a man has a big family, right? Even if you have 100 kids, right? Imagine that. Okay? Well, I guess some kings could have possibly had that. But even if a man has a big family and lives to be to a very old age, means nothing if he can't enjoy it in life, right? That means nothing. He even goes on to say that if he doesn't have a good funeral burial at the end of his life, that a stillborn is more to be envied than he. Why? Because he ends up in the same place. They both end up at the same place, right? As this man, he ends up at the same place as this man, a stillborn does, a baby who doesn't make it out of the womb, okay, or does and has gone to be with the Lord. Okay, he doesn't, the reason why the baby has it better is because he doesn't have to deal with all the trouble and the heartache that we've dealt with on earth, okay? That's satisfying. So no matter how long one lives or how many children one has, if we do not enjoy the good things we have, it would be better that we had not been born at all. Okay? So don't be grumpy. Okay? Don't be grumpy. Sometimes I get grumpy at home and the wife has to remind me to settle down and Not much. Just every now and then. But she does remind me. Right, babe? We remind each other sometimes. I'm just kidding. But yeah. So again, enjoy these things of life. Right? The simple things. The good things. To not enjoy the little things of life that God has given us as a gift, again, is to be better off not born at all. If you're not going to enjoy the little things that God has given you, then you're better off not even being born at all. Okay? That's what he's saying here. This last section of our verse says that all men go to one place, which is what? Well, what happens to all men? Not really all to one place. The grave, right? We die. We all go to death, is what I was going to say. My wording is not good. To one place, which is death. Okay? We need to enjoy the good things we have, or we have the opportunity, where we have the opportunity to do so. Even though the opportunity and the ability to enjoy good things are the gifts of God, so we need to remember that all those good things, all the opportunity, all the abilities that we have, they're all gifts from God. Enjoy them all. And so, there's a kind of sobering text here. Verse 7 says, "All a man's labor is for his what? Mouth. And yet the soul is not fulfilled." This is very interesting, okay? This is a contrast between the physical appetite and the what appetite? The spiritual, right? Very interesting. The main reason for working is for what? To feed yourself. That's it, right? It's the only reason why we work. To feed yourself. To buy food for ourselves and our family, to provide from that aspect. We must do this to live. If not, we don't eat. Even, I think, Proverbs tells us that if we don't work, we don't eat, right? And kind of paraphrasing that. But the odd thing is that we are never satisfied. No matter how much you eat, you will never be satisfied. To satisfy the body is not to satisfy the what? The soul, the spirit, right? So by satisfying the body, you will never be able to satisfy the soul or the spirit. Okay? The more money we make, the more things we want to buy. Okay? We're never content. Man is never content. Not everybody is like that. Some have discipline. And that's what it takes to manage that. If God gives us things, to be good stewards and enjoy them. And sometimes riches are not given to us for us to enjoy, but to use to advance God's kingdom. So make sure we pray about how we use what God has given us. So verse 8, "For what advantage does the wise man have over the fool?" What advantage does the afflicted man have? Knowing how to walk before the living. So with the same idea of trying to be satisfied, of what advantage does the wise man have over the fool? What do y'all think? So he's asking a question. What advantage does a wise man have over somebody who is foolish? Okay? What do y'all think?
He enjoys what he has.
He enjoys what he has, okay? What else?
They have some discipline in their life.
They have some discipline in their life. Okay? Anything else? I think that's pretty basic in the context, right? And kind of what we're looking at. So the wise man can recognize the opportunity and ability and to enjoy the good, right? That God has given him. And because of that, we can take advantage of those moments. That's what Phil said. The fool, on the other hand, does not understand and will miss out on those opportunities to enjoy the good gifts of the Lord, okay? And so again, he can't comprehend those. He can't see what is good in front of him because he doesn't understand. He's foolish. So here in this text, the afflicted or poor man has the advantage. Okay, so he says, "For what advantage does the wise man have over the fool? What advantage does the afflicted man or the poor man have?" Okay, so let's look at that real quick. So here in this text, the afflicted or poor man has the advantage in life because he knows how to conduct himself. And this is what gives him the advantage over the fool, okay? The fool does not know how to conduct himself, okay? He doesn't know how to make right decisions, enjoy what God has given him. And so he is not driven by any appetites of satisfaction, but has learned to accommodate himself in all circumstances. Okay? A wise man can learn to adjust and accommodate himself in all circumstances. He's not living to be fed or to be satisfied, right? He's, in a sense, what do we as Christians live for? To what? To glorify God, that's right. And that's what should bring us satisfaction, right? Not the self-fulfilling desires of the world, but to glorify and honor Christ in all that we do. So, all right, verse 9. What the eye see is better than what the soul goes after. This too is vanity, striving after wind. So it is far better to be content with the meals that are set before us than to always be craving for something additional, right? We teach that to our kids. Hey, you better be glad of what you got, right? I have all these memories in my mind, right? Cheryl, it doesn't matter if it's roadkill. Just be happy. No, I'm just kidding. I know. There you go. Oh, my goodness. I'm just kidding. I didn't think about that. It just barely came to mind, so I'm sorry. But yes, so it is far better to be content with the meals that are set before us than to always be craving for something additional. The business of always lusting for more is foolish as grasping for the wind, right? Grasping for the wind is like herding cats, okay? We'll never find true satisfaction if we follow the lusts of our hearts, okay? We need to learn to be satisfied with what we have. To control one's appetite is the way of wisdom. So although it's a metaphor, right? He's talking from a human perspective, but he's talking about the spiritual world. To control one's appetite is the way of wisdom. Okay. All right. Let's look at verse 10. So whatever exists has already been named, and it is known that man what man is. And he cannot dispute with him who is stronger than he is. Okay, here we see a minor change in subject. He is now moving over to a thought of the control of God over all things. So now we're kind of going back to the things under the heavens, right? Not under the sun. Okay, here in this verse, God is concerned with men. Why? Because we have limitations. God is mightier than men. If man tries to push back against God, is he able to do that? No, he ain't, right? Man cannot push back against God and be successful. One commentator says that whatever one is, rich or poor, wise or foolish, older or younger, he has already been given the name of man. What is the name of man? Well, man here represents the Hebrew word Adam, okay? The Hebrew word Adam, which means what? Have you ever heard of it? It means red clay, okay? How can red clay dispute with the Creator? So what he's saying, look, there's no way that you being made from dirt can really dispute with the Creator. You're nobody, right? The Creator does what he wishes with his creation, okay? That's hard for some people to understand, but that's a reality. Okay, verse 11. For there are many words which increase vanity. Did I have you read through verse 9? I did, yeah. Sorry. We're just going to wrap this up then. Yeah, there we go. Sorry. I just realized that. For there are many words which increase vanity. What then is the advantage to a man? Okay, so we know people who talk too much, right? Were you going to say that? Yeah, don't say their names out loud, okay? But we know people who probably talk a lot, okay? When they begin to talk, what do? You begin to what?
Tune them out.
Tune them out, that's right. You tune them out. When that happens, the words go in one ear and out the other, right? The words are lost. Okay, so that's what this text is trying to say. Nothing is gained by the multiplying of words. So we need to be people who have well-chosen words over many words that simply dissipate into the air, or so they don't dissipate like into the air like one's breath on a cold morning, right? Man does not become better by increasing our words of speech, okay? We don't. So the more you say doesn't mean that's always a good thing, okay? Sometimes it's when you don't say anything that speaks a lot of words, right? So just be wise. Yeah. Yeah, read it out loud. Okay, sure.
It says, the more words you speak, the less they mean.
Oh, yeah.
So what good are they?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, that's a great, great translation there on that. Gives that general idea. Yeah, for sure. And so, again, be wise in what we say, how we say it, how much we say, okay? And when we say it. And when, no, I was kidding. I was giving a bad example there. Okay, verse 12. For who knows what is good for a man during his lifetime? During the few days of his vain life, he will make do with them like a shadow. For whom can tell a man what will be after him under the sun? Okay? So verse 12 is often taken as the compliment of the ignorant. Okay? Nobody knows what is good for a man to do. There's no point to anything. No one knows what is coming. It is all useless. Okay? Men cannot contend. Men cannot contend success. Men cannot. God has already determined what will be. He is the one calling all things to existence. Therefore, he is the one who knows what is good for men. He is the one who knows what comes next. So again, so in our life, men must look to God for direction as to how to spend his life and for future hope. Okay, for who knows what is good for a man during his lifetime? Right, we don't know what is good for anybody for our lifetime, especially because we don't know how long we're going to live. Okay, during the few days of his vain life, he will make do with them like a shadow. Right, so they're all going to go. They're not significant. They're not real. Again, they're a shadow. They don't have any substance. For who can tell a man what will be after him under the sun? Well, nobody, okay? So I can't tell you the future. I can't tell you what will be after the sun. If you have all this stuff or these things, I have no idea what's going to happen to it when you die or if I die, okay? So again, so men must look for God for direction as to how to spend his life and for future hope. So any thoughts or questions of today, for today?
Our Sunday school class, we did this book. We read through this book and applied God's word to it. It was written by a Puritan author.
Oh, yeah.
Jeremiah Burroughs.
Oh, Jeremiah.
And it was the rare jewel of contentment. Mm. And so everything you were reading just reminded me of that study.
Oh, nice.
And we have my niece was given that book by her youth pastor.
No way.
When she graduated. And it's really odd that a youth pastor would give that book to the kids. But
yes.
Anyway, that was really good.
Now, what was the book called again?
The Rare Jewel of Contentment.
The Rare Jewel of Contentment. Okay, perfect. Yeah, that's good. Jeremiah Burroughs is a good author. He's very good. Okay. Well, that's all I've got for this morning. Unless you guys have anything else. We can close up. Anybody have anything else I want to say? No? Okay, well, let's go ahead and pray. Silas, would you close us out today?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you today to thank you for everything that you've done for us, Lord, and we can't thank you enough for the blessings that you've bestowed upon us and our congregation, Lord. And I just pray that we have a good rest of our Sunday, Lord, that the children's message, Lord, is good, and the sermon, Lord, I pray for Stephen and give him the confidence he needs to deliver your word properly, Lord, and to properly glorify you. Pray for the worship this morning as well. I pray that our new song goes well. I pray that the congregation sings and truly glorifies you in the process, Lord. And I pray for everything, Lord, that's happening in the world today. I pray for all the wars and all the tribulation that Christians around the world are going through. And just be with them. Reveal your attributes to them and through them, Lord. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother.